Hi, this is Linda Rex with Our Life in the Trinity. Welcome. Today we're going to talk about faith and persevering prayer. And it's a sermon for October 16th of 2022. And our text is Luke 18, 1 through 8. And we're going to read that in the New American Standard Bible. And then we'll say prayer, talk about our subject for today. We'll take communion together and close with a benediction. So that gives you some idea of how we're going to do this morning. So, faith and persevering prayer. Beginning in Luke 18, 1 to 8, it says, "Now Jesus was telling them a parable, to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Let's pray for a minute. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be together today to think about what it means to have faith and persevere in our prayers and to get to know you better. What does this have to do with you and with us? So we ask, Heavenly Spirit, that you would make Christ more and more manifest in us and with us through your great name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. What is it that we believe about God? I think sometimes we don't realize what we believe about God until circumstances in our life come up, and then we begin to ask those questions. You know, what we believe about God affects how we live our lives, how we interact with other people, and what kind of relationship we have with him. Do we have a relationship with him? Or do we have a real good relationship with the Bible? And when we think about God and being in relationship with him, what does his face look like when he looks at us? You ever think about that? Does it resemble the face of the people in our lives who have rejected us or who have spurned us or who have ridiculed and belittled us and shamed us? Sometimes we project onto God the face of the people in our lives who should have affirmed us and helped us be who we are, but they didn't, and we tend to project that onto God. Another question. What if we do pray to God, and it seems like God never answers, or he's silent, or he doesn't do what we think we simply asked him to do, and it was important, whatever we asked him? Does God's silence mean he's mad at us or he's punishing us? See, we can have these ideas about God and what we believe about God in his attitude toward us affects whether we pray to him, how we pray to him, and when we do pray, how we go about it. Are we in a relationship with God in which we feel we can be honest with him, where we can be genuine with our feelings. If we're angry, is it okay to shout at God, to cuss at God and say, how dare you? Do you think if you said that to God that he would reject you? That he would send a lightning bolt to zot you on the spot? Or is it possible that God already knows that thought's in your heart? And maybe it's time you said it and got it out there and talked about the elephant in the room, so to speak. Maybe it's time to be real with God and be genuine with him. You see, God wants to hear our prayers, all our prayers. He treasures the time that we spend with him. He is the God who created us, and we were created for relationship with him and one another. We can be real and open with God. Why? Because he already knows. He knows what's going to come out of our mouth before we say it. So why bother saying it? Because he wants to hear it. Because he cares about our heart. He treasures our heart. He treasures our personhood. He made us for relationship with himself. We can be real and open and honest with God. God loves us so much and treasures us so much that he went to the effort to experience the depths and heights of our human experience by becoming God in human flesh, by taking our flesh on, for meeting us where we are, to bring us to where he is. Now, our reading for today is in Luke 18. And in the previous passages, Jesus had been talking about things like his second coming, about death and resurrection and what that meant and how he was headed that direction. And he was going to die and rise again. And he tells this parable about the widow and the unjust judge as an encouragement to his disciples to pray, always pray, and not to lose heart, not to give up when it's, you know, when things don't seem to be going the way we thought they would, when God doesn't answer the way we think he should or would. So in this story, we have a widow, a vulnerable person who's defenseless against her enemy, her opponent, whoever that is. And that was pretty common for widows to be taken advantage of, and it was a very bad thing that they were taken advantage of, because, you know, God says throughout Scripture that he has a special place in his heart for widows and orphans. So a widow, a vulnerable person here, goes to this judge and asks him to intervene. The judge is a kind of a godless, irreverent man. He doesn't care what God thinks. He doesn't care what people think. He really had no interest in helping her, and so he ignores her pleas. But finally, as she keeps going back to him over and over, he finally says to himself, well, if I don't do something, she's going to give me a black eye, which is essentially what the translation in the Greek says. So, you know, out of self-preservation, he finally responds. Now, what Jesus says is, do you think that that's the way God is? Isn't God going to do even more for you because he's going to respond out of compassion, out of concern for you? Isn't God going to immediately intervene if that is who he is? You see, God isn't indifferent or insensitive to our concerns and suffering. And in fact, you know, we as human beings, because of sin because of giving ourselves over to sin and evil and death, we're like the widow, at the mercy of the evil one, at the mercy of our sin and death. And we need Jesus to intervene, right? And he did. But he didn't do it because he was indifferent to our suffering. He was so concerned about us that he took our flesh on to take us himself through death and resurrection to bring us out the other side so we could have new life. So we could have freedom from sin, freedom from death and evil. So we could have. But Jesus says, but when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, that's interesting. Here, God in Christ, the Son of Man, which it references his humanity and his God in man. When, so will he find, when he comes, will he find faith in the earth? The question is here, look what Jesus did. He comes to live our life, be birthed in our birth, be baptized in our baptism, to die our death, to rise again, to ascend to the Father, carrying all of humanity in his flesh into the presence of the Father in it, that objective union. That's just, that's the truth. And the question is, what do we believe about God? Where's our faith? Because what we believe about God, do we believe that he's the God who's willing to do that for us? Who did do that for us? Because if we believe that God is that God, it will significantly affect how we pray. Oh, yeah. Will we have faith when Christ comes? Will we believe that he is who he is? Will we let Jesus be who Jesus is? God in human flesh, who lived our life, died our death, and rose again. Who sent his Spirit so we can share in the life of the Father and Son in the Spirit. To be a part of what they're doing in this world. Do we believe God wants to hear what we have to say? Well, he must if he's willing to go to that extent so that we can live in relationship with him. Do we believe God has our best interests in mind? Well, I would like to hope so, because surely if it took all that, his willingness to set aside the privileges of divinity and come as the Word of God in human flesh, and to be willing to die at the hands of humans for our sake and to rise again, I would say that maybe God does have our best interests in mind. Do we believe that when God doesn't answer right away or doesn't answer the way we think he should, that there might be a good reason for it? Do we think in terms of our little sphere that everything has to be the way we see it? But there's a world out there we know nothing about, and that is God's life. And we are just beginning to skim the surface of it when we come to meet Jesus. And there's a life in the Father, Son, and Spirit that's at work in this world where God is doing stuff that we just have no clue. And so we have to look a little beyond ourselves and think maybe God knows something we don't know. Maybe there are millions of other people he's dealing with that our situation might affect somebody other than ourselves. And that's is beginning to see God for who he is. So Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, who is this Son of Man? He's talking about himself. And he's saying, you know, I will return in glory and make everything right. And what kind of God comes again in Christ and makes everything right is the justice he enacts. Is he going to destroy all the bad people? Or is he going to destroy once and for all evil, sin, death, eradicate it once and for all from our human existence? I think that we need to look at God differently. This is the God who comes and takes our human flesh on and brings it through death into resurrection, sends the Spirit so we can participate in the inner life, the love of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. This is a God who makes all things new. His intent from the beginning was that we, as his created children, would live in right relationship with him and one another. We were created to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and being, love our neighbor as ourselves. That was always his intent. And he includes us in his process, his purpose, his plan, his mission, by praying. We can pray, can't we? Because of Jesus and what he's done and in the gift of the Spirit. See, the thing about prayer is, prayer doesn't start with us. When Paul says, let's pray in the Spirit, I think he's talking about something that begins where? Within the triune life and love. Between the Father and the Son, who are always in face-to-face relationship in the Spirit. And Jesus, by the Spirit, shares with you and me the Father's heart about things, about the world we're in, about ourselves, about circumstance, about people. Jesus shares with us the heart of the Father, plants things in our heart, and that desire to, that strong desire to do something like find that thing that your son's been looking for a long time, can't seem to find it. You have that desire. And so you what? You pray. Where did that start with? Was that you? So I've been really wrestling with this lately because, you know, our prayers have this incredible potential when they are birthed not within ourselves, but within God himself. Because, see, Jesus shares with us the heart of the Father and the Spirit. We pray, and Jesus lifts our prayers back into the Father and perfects them. And the Father hears and answers, and Jesus responds. And we're in the middle of their conversation. How beautiful and wonderful is that? But that's what we're created for, to live that way for all eternity and even now by the Spirit. And keeping in tune with the Spirit, being drawing close to God in conversation with him, we pray. And we share in what God's doing. We begin to see from things from his point of view. We begin to have his heart about things. And we begin to trust that God is at work, even though we don't see him sometimes. And so we what? Continue to pray. We persevere. Our perseverance is birthed again in the Trinity from our inner participation in the inner life of the Father, Son, and Spirit because of Christ, right? We have faith in a trustworthy God who's not going to let us down. So we keep praying. And we keep staying in close relationship with God. There are so many forms of prayer. There is even something like silence. When silence or contemplation, we ponder the things of God and we listen and we hear the Spirit. And Spirit can speak, in a sense, into our hearts so we can hear what God's mind is. We listen through the Word of God, and we hear through the Scriptures as we read, and the Spirit lifts the Scriptures as we see Christ in His Word. And we can do other prayers, like breath prayers, which are interesting because it's a brief sentence where you breathe in and we breathe out. Holy Father, I worship you. You know, in, out. And it can be a part of something you do during the day. Simple breath prayers. And there's so many forms of prayers. It's worth studying to learn about the different forms of prayer that have been practiced over the centuries by those who worship God in Christ by the Spirit. You know, staying in close relationship with God because, why? He loves us and He's given us His love to love Him. He includes us in what He's doing. He makes us His own adopted children because now as His children, we want to see what Dad's doing. What's Dad up to? We want to be a part of it. And we want to have His point of view about things and His heart. So we pray. And God gives us His Spirit. And in His Spirit, we receive Christ's own heart about things, His faith in the Father, His perfect faith in the Father. He gives that to us by the Spirit, enables us to trust in His trustworthy Father. And we can each participate in His own relationship with the Father and the Spirit and be a part of what He's doing in this world. And so the faith is a gift from God. Our ability to persevere comes from Christ, perseverance in Christ living in us. And prayer is part of our participation in this inner relationship between the Father and Son and the Spirit. It's a gift God gives us. It's a wonderful gift. And it's a shame that we don't do it more often, because all of our life, all day long, should be one long conversation with God in each moment, in all the things we're doing in our life. And it doesn't need to be isolated to 5 minutes in the morning or 10 minutes at night or at church on Sunday. No, prayer is a conversation. And it's always, always ongoing. We're always a part of what God's doing in this world. Where did you get that idea to do your work a certain way? Did that thought come to your mind out of the blue? Or was that God speaking to you and giving you a hint as to how you could do your work more effectively? Maybe we're already in conversation with God and we don't realize it. Something worth considering. And part of our conversation includes our coming again and being reminded of what Christ has done. Remember, the whole context of this passage had to do with what? Death and resurrection. So we come to communion, and that's to remind us, we died with Christ, right? We affirm these essentials. We died with Christ. We rose with Christ. We share in His glory, both now and forever. That's where our life is, in Christ. And where is Christ? Christ is in the Father. The Father is in Jesus. They're one in the Spirit. How beautiful is that? And we get to be right in the middle. So we're reminded of that as we take the bread and the wine together. So let us pray for a moment. We thank you, Jesus, for lifting us up into the relationship you have with the Father and the Spirit. We thank you for reminding us of the life of prayer that we have. We can participate in day by day. Inspire us to pray. Move us to pray. Give us your heart to talk to the Father in the Spirit and to talk to you and to just have those conversations with the Spirit and just listen and to be in relationship with you. Enable us to hear and to receive all that you have for us. We receive now, again, all you've offered to us, Jesus, in your body and your blood. In your name we pray. Amen. So the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and broke it. How interesting that he would use it to symbolize his broken body. The broken bread. We break the bread, right? Broken bread. Thank you, Jesus, for offering your very self, your flesh, for our flesh. Thank you. Jesus also offered the wine, and symbolically saying that this is my blood shed for you. In the Old Testament scriptures, it said that we didn't drink blood because blood is where the life is. And I think that was to point us to Christ, because Christ is our life. As Paul says, he is our life. We draw our life from him. And when we're talking about prayer, remember, keep Christ the center. Thank you, Jesus. Now may our Heavenly Father kindle afresh in you the gift and treasure of his Spirit of love, making you fearless and unstoppable through Jesus our Lord. Amen. May God bless and keep you this week. And we'd love to have you join us again next week here on Our Life in the Trinity. God bless.